don't know about you, but I love a good mystery, and I love things that are really weird. Whether it was like Scooby-Doo growing up, or some deep, dark secret waiting to be discovered in Stranger Things, I live for the thrill of the unknown, the weird, and the unsolvable. That's why, with the recent disbanding of Daft Punk in a wordless, enigmatic announcement, I was all over it. Hi, I'm Kyle, and today on Ministry During the Disruption, we're working harder, better, faster, and stronger to unravel the mysteries of Daft Punk. Hello, hello. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Kyle, and I'm here today with our senior EDM correspondent, Steve Tamayo. How are you doing today?
I love electronic dance music. In fact, I love it so much, I just learned what that acronym means.
Exactly. EDM music is my favorite. Well, at least at one point in my life was a very strong one of my favorites. And I'm sad to see, as we talked about in the cold open, Daft Punk go, so to speak. But we're here to talk about them today. So, Steve, tell me a little bit more about Daft Punk, especially for those who are unenlightened.
So, Daft Punk has been around since the 90s. They are a duo, and they perform with masks or helmets. In fact, Kyle, you and I were looking at this, and as far as we can tell, they have never taken off their masks in public. They've done interviews with bags over their head. They wear these elaborate robotic type masks. And it's really fascinating that they perform with these masks. Their music is, according to their Wikipedia page, a blend of funk, techno, disco, indie, rock, and pop. They are famous for the song that Kyle referenced earlier, Harder, Faster, Better, Stronger. That's one of my favorites by them. That kind of works with my workaholic personality. They also have the song One More Time, which I really enjoy. Do you have any favorites from them that people might have heard of, Kyle?
For our modern generation, probably the song that most people know by them is Get Lucky with Pharrell, which is really good. But I also really like Technologic and Around the World. And then I also really like the Kanye sample of them where he does Stronger, taking their original song, remixing it, and rapping over that, which I really like.
So they broke up this past week, and we are going to be talking about their delightful weirdness. In particular, I want to highlight one product that they created that is, to my mind, the weirdest of their weird things. For their second studio album, they did a collaboration to create something called Intastella 5555, and it is an anime movie featuring blue-skinned aliens who are abducted and then brainwashed and turned into a band, and it goes along with their album. So every song in the album is performed. All of their music videos for that album are these anime music videos. And I remember watching those videos and thinking, this is the stupidest thing that I've ever seen.
I watched this also. Slash, I don't really remember from my childhood, but I remember when I was getting into Daft Punk, I learned more about it. And I was like, this is really weird. Like, this is, but it's actually really well done. It's really well done. Like, it's a really high quality anime. Like, the art is good.
And this is my take for the week, right? Is that what Daft Punk did that was genius is that they made something that was for someone. It wasn't for everyone. It wasn't for me. I didn't like it. It didn't appeal to me. I didn't get super pumped about it. But those videos have been viewed millions and millions and millions of times. There are people who love those Daft Punk videos, love those albums. This is a thing that they made for that weird segment of their fans. And there's something really special about being weird on purpose for people.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. The Daft Punk, at the first search, when I look at that Intastella 5555, on YouTube, there are 2.1 million views of this video, and it is an hour long. anime music visual concept album.
Yeah, I mean, and if you look at the One More Time video or the Harder, Faster, Better, Stronger video, it's got way more views than this. And it is, instead of putting themselves front and center, they have these blue-skinned alien rock band performing in this, and it looks like 90s anime. And
it also looks kind of like Thundercats. I don't know if you ever watched Thundercats.
It does look like Thundercats. Yes. It appeals directly to one particular side of their audience. So Kyle, you said that you appreciated the quality in it, but that it wasn't for you either.
Well, so I really do like anime, right? And I like cartoons. So, and I've watched a lot of them. I don't really care about music videos, right? So like, therefore it's not for me. I'm not the audience for a music video, no matter what it is. But if you were to tell me, like, I'm going to watch this anime, like, I would be, like, somewhat curious about it. It has, if you've, it, because it was made in 2003, right, it's still sort of referencing all these old animes from the past. Like, it looks a lot like Cowboy Bebop, for example, which is a really famous, really iconic anime that's been out there. And, like, that to me is, like, a cool homage to all those things. And therefore, I appreciate it. I think it's like, wow, this is cool. Plus, I'm also thinking about, like nowadays, visual albums are actually more common. Like Beyonce's released one, Frank Ocean released one, a bunch of all these people have released visual albums. But like in 2003, I don't think that was a thing. I don't think anybody really did that. So it's such a anomaly within the time frame of all that too. So I also appreciate it for that reason alone. It's like ahead of its time.
Yes, yes. I can admit that it was groundbreaking. I can admit that the quality is good. I can admit that there's an artistry to what they did. I certainly couldn't have done it. And yet it wasn't for me. And so I think there's this thing that happens when we are evaluating an artistic product or a ministry, which we're going to get to in a minute, where we evaluate it by whether or not we like it. Is this something that I would like? And there are times when we make things and we're not the intended audience. And there are times when someone else makes something and I'm not the intended audience. And it's an interesting thing. If I let my judgment of a product be the final word on a product, I may actually fail to understand why other people love this.
Oh, well, so this actually reminds me a little bit of what we were talking about the other week with the stale memes kill dreams thing, where like the internet culture is not for everybody, including people of my generation and younger, right? Like not everybody's in on memes, not everybody likes social media, not everyone likes like all that sort of stuff, right? There's plenty of people who don't enjoy that, but it doesn't mean people aren't there, right? And it doesn't mean it's not legitimate. And I know, for example, that in some of my past experiences, like if I like anime or if I like cartoons or if I'm a nerd, right, like I get kind of pushed out while the more, you know, conventional likes and enjoyments are just celebrated or they're kept in this general space. So I think like one thing that's really brilliant about this video is it's hitting the people who normally get pushed out, right? And it's for them, therefore they really latch onto it, and you build this really strong connection with them because of that.
This is something that we talk about in it, you know, as we kind of move to ministry. Can we make a shift to ministry? So as we move to ministry, something we talk about in InterVarsity's Latino Fellowship is this quote from Noel Castellanos, where he says, "The margins are the center of God's concern." And so to actually make things that are for specific people, maybe even for people who are on the margins of our society, of our campuses, for people who are within smaller subsets of our communities, to make things that are for them are actually in some ways the only ways we are going to reach them at all. Like if we don't make something that is for Latino students, we may not reach Latino students at all. If we don't make something that's for anime students, we may not reach students in the anime club at all. There's something really powerful about making things that are for people, not just things that are for the world, the general population.
Okay, let me quickly ask, right, because I think this might be a question that a lot of people are thinking about. If it's only for specific people, aren't we leaving the other people out? And I think that's already inherently what we just talked about, but like, isn't that bad that we're leaving those people out?
So it was the community of people who loved Harder, Faster, Better, Stronger, and loved that video, who got me to watch that video in the first place. Like, I never would have watched that video if it hadn't been four people and those fans had pulled me in. And this is something that we see in ministry during the disruption. We actually see focusing in on our core audience can be a step toward reaching other communities, other corners of other campuses and of the world. And actually, this is what Jesus did, is he focused in on a small group of men and women. They followed him. They were his disciples. They supported him financially. They learned from him. They were the witnesses to his resurrection. It was a small group. He was for them. And then that opened doors for them to be for the rest of the world. But even then, they were for Antioch, and they were for Ephesus, and they were for Philippi. You look at the letters in the New Testament, and they're written to particular people and particular places, even though they have universal applicability. This idea of needing to be for a particular community is a really important biblical concept. It's not just a marketing concept. In fact, one of the people who's written most compellingly about it is Jeff Henderson in his book, Know What You're For. He was a marketing executive who went on to be a pastor. And I found this book to be incredibly insightful, helpful, practical. I've written about it in our online newsletter on online resources, and just would strongly encourage you in your ministry to consider who you're for. And don't say that I'm for everybody, because if you're for everybody, you're not going to be for anybody.
Right. It reminds me of like in The Incredibles where Syndrome, the villain, says, you know, if everybody's super, then no one will be. It's like kind of the same idea, right? Except if you're for everybody, you can't possibly be for some people, right? I think you're kind of for nobody.
Well, you know, and I'm not sure, you know, we can go here, but a lot of times when we say that we're for everybody, we really mean is we're for people who are like me.
Right.
And we're blinded to that fact. So for me, if I say, oh, we're for everybody, but my ministry has a distinctly Latino flair, everybody might be welcomed, but I may not actually be actively inclusive.
Well, and I think actually that's what does more harm than good, right? Like we can definitely see like, oh, like America is for everyone. That's what it's been from the conception, quote unquote. But we know from our history that that's not actually true. Like, there's been people across the board who have, in America have had mistreatment from Black Americans to minority cultures, even when in the early stages, like Irish and Italian people coming into America, or like Catholics versus Protestants. Like, not everybody was welcome. It was everybody who's like us, right? Which is totally different. I will say also, actually, from Daft Punk as an example, they have this specific target audience, right? These people who liked weird EDM, right? And eventually, right, one of my favorite songs is that Kanye remix. It hit a completely separate group of people. Because Kanye and EDM don't necessarily mix, right? Rap, EDM. But because they went targeted this specific group of people, enough people really liked it. They shared it with more people and more people and more people. And then eventually it hit Kanye and the mainstream, and it became, like, one, it became Kanye and rap, but then it also went into the mainstream and everybody listened to that song. And then towards the end of their career, they're working with, like, Pharrell, and they're getting number one Billboard charts songs. And they moved from a specific group to eventually hitting everybody, but the way they did it was through the specific group first.
Right. So I don't think you need to accept the myth that says, if I'm weird and if I'm focused, then I can't reach every corner of every campus. It's just not true.
The other thing I have to think about, too, is like, what are you specifically called to do, right? Like, Jesus is called to reach the entire campus, and the Holy Spirit is reaching the entire campus. But you are one person, and you are limited, right? And maybe you and your friends are going to go do this, too, if you're like a student, for example. But you're also limited. Like, you can't possibly reach every single person on the campus. So what is your place in God's movement on campus? That's what you can do, and you could be distinct and weird and yourself in order to reach people in ways that no one else could, because you're you.
And the disruption forces those conversations, right? It removes from us the myth that we can reach everyone. In fact, that's one of the most dangerous myths that we could buy into during the disruption, is this myth that now that everyone's online, I can just do my generic thing and reach everyone, that I could just spend enough money and everyone will pay attention to me. And it's just not true. In fact, the ministries that have thrived during the pandemic are the ones that have been high touch, high relational, high connection for specific groups of people that have gone into the niches and have built real relationships. And that's something that I think InterVarsity is going to take away from this pandemic season.
Right. In our culture, where people are getting more and more specific in what they like and their groups, and there's less of a universal monoculture, I think we need to reach out to the non-monoculture. What is that? A polyculture? A multiculture? I don't know. But like a multicultural space, where we need to reach out across those multicultural lines and reach those different people in the ways that they wish to be reached in many respects. Okay, Steve, I think to me that sounds like a pretty good place to wrap up. Any final thoughts on all that?
I just want to reiterate something that we said earlier, and that is that this is something that you work out in your community in prayer. That you go to the Lord, gather your community, go to the Lord together, and ask Him, who is it that you have placed us here for? And start with specific people. In fact, the more specific you can get, the better that experience will be. And then build your ministry for those people. And trust that as you start connecting with those specific people, that you'll get opportunities to reach broader and deeper into your campus and into the world.
And for me, it's not about working harder, better, faster, stronger, or getting lucky in order to reach your campus. It's just being a little weird. Okay, so with all that being said, thanks for listening to our podcast. You can check us out on Instagram at Ministry During the Disruption and follow us there and comment on your own Daft Punk songs, how weird you are, what you're trying on campus. Ask us questions, chat with us, hang out with us. And you can also subscribe and rate and review our podcast. That'd be really helpful. And if you like our podcast and you're one of the weird people who likes our podcast, check it out and share it with some other people who you might think might be interested as well. And also, if you like that, you can check out our sponsor for today.
Have you been thinking about starting something new for your corner of campus? Maybe there are people who share your interests, who have your same ethnic heritage, who are part of your team or your club or are in your major, and you just think it would be the best thing in the world for them to get to rally together and connect with Jesus together. Maybe you've been wanting to start something new but haven't known where to start. Our sponsor today can help you get started. Go to startsomethingnew.org. This is a website that is hosted by InterVarsity's Planting Ministry, and they will help you plant something in your corner of campus or on your campus. There are coaches available, there are all kinds of resources that can help you out, and there's inspiration that can get you started. Don't hesitate. Don't be afraid. Your corner of campus needs you. StartSomethingNew.org.